They say that the stipler was actually into giving skulas, suggesting skulas. So there was once a fellow that came to the stipler and he said to him, Rebbe, I'm looking for a skula in Shalom Bayis. And the stipler, you didn't know how he was going to react. There's a Rav who once went to the stipler and he told the stipler something. The stipler chased him out of his house with his cane. So you never knew how the stipler was going to react. So the fellow asks the stipler, and he gets excited. The stipler says, wait a second, just a minute. For Shalom Bayis, I have a skula. And he goes into the other room, and he comes out with a broom, and he says, here's your skula for Shalom Bayis. The stipler was right, that there are many things that the skula is something that's very, very practical. There's only one skula that I'm aware of that I've discussed with the Talmidim publicly, that is pshuto kemashmo, a skula, but at the same time, the avoda is a very, very profound avoda. I have not met a Talmud that told me that he read over the Igeres HaRamban once a week, like the Ramban describes in his letter, which you have in front of you, at least the first half. And the Ramban, if you take a look at his words at the second half, which I did not photocopy for you, which is referred to in the Sefer Mu'ulefes Sapirim, the Ramban says that if you read this letter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change your life. That's what the Ramban says at the end of the Igeres. Here they say it even with even sharper. Shebiyom Shikra Igeres Zeh She'anu Min HaShemayim Kol Ma She'yishal. You're guaranteed to be saved from every sorrow. Now, I can't promise that, and I haven't experienced that. But every single Talmud that has read the Ramban weekly, consistently, for a year, has told me that their life is not the same. That's the skula. The Ramban says, if you read it, Yanu min hashamayim. Here they say, Yatziu lo mikol kol tzara. What I've experienced is your life will not be the same. Siyata d'shmaya, I'd like to read the first few lines in the Igeres HaRamban, try to understand it with you a little bit, and see b'derech ha'avoda, the profound, profound lesson in the Igeres HaRamban. He starts with the pasuk in Mishlei, Shema b'ni musar avicha v'al titosh teres imecha. Listen to the musar of your father, and don't sway from your mother's Torah. That there's a lot to say, but we're not learning Mishlei now. The Ramban suggests, Tisnahei tamid, l'daber kol dvarecha benachas. Accustom yourself to speak softly, l'chol adam l'chol eis, to everybody at all times. U'bazeh, and with this, tinatzel minakas. If you do that, you'll be saved from anger. Tzarechiyu number one. How is it that simply speaking softly is going to save you from the worst of all midos? That the Gemara in Shabbos says, Kol HaKoyes Ki'ilu Oyved Avoyde Zara. And the Gemara in Nidarim says, Kol HaKoyes Kol Mineg Enim Sholtim Boy. It's a living hell, says the Ramban. Bazeti Notzel Minakas. If you speak softly, you'll be saved from anger. And then the Ramban, after skipping a couple lines, we're about the sixth line in, he quotes Psukim, we're going to leave the Psukim that the Ramban quotes, V'chasher tinatzel min akas, and when a person is saved from anger, tala libcha midas ha'anava, then you're ready, after kas is gone, to reach the Madrega of humility, Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, V'chasher tala libcha midas ha'anava, and when a person reaches the Madrega of humility, the Ramban goes on to say, he's ready for the Madreig of Yerushalayim. What's the progression over here? What's the relationship between speaking softly and the Mida of Anava? And the Ramban then says, once one reaches Anava, then you're at the moment of Yerushalayim. There's a story about the Ramban's Talmud. I can't verify the story, but it's been said over generations and generations that the Ramban had a Talmud who was sick. Sounds like from the description that we've heard as Talmidim that he was suffering from something that we know as cancer today. and the Talmud was dying. And the Ramban was in terrible pain, seeing his Talmud die. And he said to the Talmud, I don't understand. And I beg of you that when you get up to Shemayim, if you have to die, that you come back to me in a dream and explain to me why it is that you suffered so. And he came back to the Ramban after he passed away. And he said very simply, he said, Rebbe, upstairs over here, everything makes sense. But I can't explain it to you. Up there it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense in this world. The Mesorah that we have from the Beis Medrash of the Ramban, which is a Mesorah Lechol, all of our Mesorahs, is that at the end of the day, everything makes sense, but we don't decide what makes sense. We are not entirely in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. What do Chazal mean when they say, Kol HaKoyes Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah? What happens when a person gets angry? What happens when a person loses control? And those of us who are honest with ourselves, I don't think there are many people here who've never reached that point of kas. There's a sense of absolute lack of control on the situation because it didn't go the way I wanted it to. The phenomenon that's happened in America time and time and time again of road rage, where Jack will actually pull out a gun and kill Tom because Tom cut him off on the road. Hayitachin? How could that happen? And the answer is that Jack was absolutely determined that it should go his way. His way, not God's way, not Tom's way, his way. Kol minei ge'enim sholtin bo. He thought he was in control. He dreamed that he was in control in the car. But at the end of the day, he's not in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. Kol HaKoes, the kas comes from the illusion that we have that we're in control. The Talmud comes back to Ramban and says, we're not even in control of rationale. We don't even understand everything. Kol HaKoyes is Oved Avoy Dezara. That's an individual who rejects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's component in his life. And the moment that happens, Kol minei Gehenim sholtim bo. Then Gehenim rules over him. Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, in introducing the Igeres HaRamban, uses a beautiful, beautiful description. Malas ha'anova, what is the mile of anova that the Ramban extols? Mevi al atzmo shleimus shel tzelem elukim. It brings on a person the shleimus, the completion of being made B'tzelem Elokim, in God's image. Listen to the fantastic paradox that we have. What an amazing paradox. The paradox is that an individual who recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control, that's the individual who relinquishes control and then is in touch with B'tzelem Elokim. By relinquishing control, a person becomes in control of himself. And the individual who tries to control will be the individual who will ultimately lose control. Malas ha'anava, this beauty of anava is shleimus when a person becomes shalem, b'tzelem elokim, Rav Michal Yehuda teaches us, with the tzelem elokim that's inside of him. And now let's move on. Now we understand the Ramban's words, pshuto kemashmo. The Ramban means it exactly this way. The moment in which a person removes kas from himself, a person is reaching the place of anava, the moment in which a person relinquishes his control. So now let's read the Ramban again. Kaftor v'ferach. Kasher tisnaig tamid l'daber kol dvarecha benachas l'chol adam b'chol eis u'bazet tinatzel minakas. The moment in which a person begins to speak softly, What's speaking softly? Speaking softly is recognizing that there's another opinion here. There's another sheet over here. It's Reuven's, and ultimately it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Because what's going to happen is going to be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. V'chasher tinatzel min ha-kas, when a person saves himself from kas, tala libcha midas anava, that brings a person to a place where he's ready for anava. Ba'avur anava yiras Hashem. The moment in which a person recognizes and internalizes that, that's the moment of Yiras Shamayim. These things are so profound. The Ramban's words, they're very simple, but to live it is a life's worth of work. And the moment in which one internalizes that, one's living becomes a different form of living. I mentioned to Talmidim in the past, the Rabbi Braunschweig, Me'avir Refuah Shleima, told this amazing story that happened to him 2 months after the Holocaust. Rabbi Braunschweig grew up in a family of seven children. His family was in the war. There were seven children that started out. I once asked him, Rebbe, something didn't add up when he was describing his siblings. And he just said to me, this is the most we ever discussed on this part. He said to me, Chaim, we started out with seven. At the end of the war, there were three. Miraculously, both of his parents had survived. Four children didn't make it. My Rebbe was very, very short. He was probably malnourished during the war. And he was hidden the entire war. Amazingly, 2 months after the war concluded, his father, who had been a successful businessman prior to Poland, got his hand on a few dollars. And he began to invest like a good businessman. And about 2 or 3 months after the war, he said his father had already bought in Germany a Nazi mansion of about 50, 60 rooms. Now, at that time, the survivors were all looking for relatives of someone who had survived. And there were many survivors that they would house. The people would stay there. There was a large ballroom on Shabbos. They would have meals for a couple of hundred people. And his father would not sit as the balabais. The people who were there thought that it was set aside as the joint, that they had, Jews from America were trying to send relief to the European remnants. And so one Shabbos, his father, who is sitting with everybody else, is sitting next to somebody, and the fellow who's been staying there for a week or so says to his father, he says, this is fantastic. You know, I'm looking for my siblings, and how long do you get to stay here? Now, his father, who's the balabais, who's paying for everything, he says to him, my friend, I've been here for a while. The balabais hasn't kicked me out, and I don't think he'll be kicking you out for a while. Who really owns your home? Who really owns your car? V'kasher tala libcha midas ha'anava. The moment in which a person recognizes, wait a second, the shorish of everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're not in control. Now, Rabbi Braunschweig's father lived it. 3 months before, they had children who were dying. 2 months later, they're sitting in a mansion. It's everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything we have and everything we don't have comes from Kudsha Brich Hu. But it's not only in regards to Midos, in regards to Kas, that a person needs to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. Not only in regards to Gashmius, to realize that everything we have and we don't have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's also in regards to our Ruchnius as well. You know, everybody's excited and it's amazing. I'm always blown away by the workout. It's fantastic. I don't know how much Shnai Mikra we were doing this evening. Everybody was talking about the workout. Amazing. It's Hafladik. But at the end of the day, what's a workout in the Western world? The workout is you make your muscles. It's you. So at the end of the day, there's some guys who are going to do it. I did it. Edelman did it. It's him. He did it. But it's not us. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who built the yeshiva, it's Volozhin who planted the seeds for our yeshiva. The name of our yeshiva originally was Yeshiva Seitz Chaim, which was the name of the yeshiva In Volozhin, Eitz Chaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin said to the Gra Rebbe, we need to serve Klal Yisrael. Reb Eliyahu HaChassid was cloistered in a room and his light spread throughout the generations, but he learned in a room. He only had a few Talmidim that were able to learn from him. Reb Chaim Volozhin said, Rebbe, we have to send it out to the world. I have an idea. We're going to make a yeshiva. And it was the first yeshiva in Lithuania. And I want to take the Groz Ashkafa. And the amazing thing is, Reb Chaim Volozhin did it in his by building the yeshiva as Volozhin and by writing the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. And he goes to the Vilna Gaon with all of his excitement, the Mamish Talmidim who need direction. And he goes to the Vilna Gaon and he says to his Rebbe, Rebbe, I want to start the yeshiva. And he's taken aback. The Vilna Gaon is Mahases. He's not sure. He doesn't give him a full yes. The Rebbe doesn't say yes. By the way, Rebbe is not only in the Olam HaChassidus. The Rebbe doesn't say yes, then it's not a go. The Rebbe Eliyahu HaChassid doesn't say yes, it's not happening. 2 years later, Reb Chaim Volozhin sees there are more and more boys in Vilna that they don't have shaychus to Vilna Gaon. There's no system. There's a Rebbe saying the shiur here in this shul and the klois and this and that. We need a yeshiva with a dormitory where the boys are going to be able to have meals. Not each one running from one place to another for a meal. My grandfather described sleeping on the bench and running from place to place to get a meal. How lucky we are. And he goes back to the Vilna Gaon. This time he's trembling. And the Vilna Gaon says, absolutely. And he says to him, Rebbe, 2 years went by. 2 years ago I asked you the same thing and you didn't give me an absolute yes. Said the Gra, I didn't feel the pachad. I didn't feel the trembling that at the end of the day is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to give me the siyata d'shmaya. There was a confidence. A confidence that I'm accomplishing. I have an idea. A fantastic idea. If there's the confidence, there's not enough room for Kutcha Brichu. The Yadua and the yeshivas, they say, if you go to any yeshiva that's a hemshich of the yeshiva of the Volozhin, they always say that the Evan Pina, when they put in the cornerstone in yeshivas Volozhin, Reb Chaim Volozhin was crying. And they say the tears of Reb Chaim Volozhin mixed into that cement. And every single yeshiva that traces its roots to Volozhin, those tears of Reb Chaim Volozhin, or that pachad, am I going to have siyata d'shmaya? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yad going to be here? Or is it going to be chas v'chalila something else? All of that is still in every single one of our yeshivas. So it's not only in regards to midos, it's not only in regards to gashmias, but it's also our ruchnias as well. My Rebbe Rabbi Yitzchak Lovamshinov said that that's pshat in Moshe Rabbeinu when he saw the sneh. Moshe Rabbeinu sees the sneh, and there's something so strange in the pasuk. He says, Asura no vereh. Asura, I'm going to turn vereh, I'm going to look at the sneh. What's this word na? Asura vereh, I'm going to go and I'm going to look and see. Kanireh, this hasneh einenu okol. There's something here that's miraculous. But you know what Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No, please. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let this be right. Let this be with Siyata Deshmaya. How do I know that it's right?